Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Sans Pants Radio.
I am Turok!
Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game podcast for those whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm also Joel.
And today we're going to be looking at Paper Mario and the Origami King and other games. Is that the title?
That is the title.
Yes!
With the question mark and everything. You know, the same inflection you just put on.
The Origami King? Is that who Mario's fighting this time?
Okay. Not
Bowser?
No, yeah.
Mario
yeah.
fights Bowser, so...
Bowser's in it for a bit. He's been folded. But you don't fight him. It's another guy.
Surely Mario should be a king by this point. He's killed or defeated so many kings in battle.
Mario, that's not how
it works. You don't kill a king and become a king.
Yeah. Macbeth told me otherwise.
That's not
good point. Not actually, I'll take everything back.
I've read Shakespeare.
Who ends up Macduff? Did Macduff end up becoming king?
Yeah.
Is that the order of succession? King Duncan gets got by Macbeth, and then Macbeth gets done by Macduff, and then Macduff is now the ruler.
I believe
so. If you'll recall in Macbeth, they're not like, you killed the king, you're the king. In fact, he tries to hide the fact that he killed the king quite a bit.
Yeah,
he just discovered that he killed the king, he will no longer be the king.
Yeah, you're right.
Fact,
once they discover
the opposite of what
he said. Yeah, but Macduff, it's very obviously that he kills Macbeth, so does he become the king?
I don't recall. I've never read Shakespeare.
Oh, wait, no, Macduff doesn't become the king. It's the descendants of Macbeth's old mate. But we don't really...
Because he was born by a caesarean section.
Yeah. Woman born or something.
Right, twist.
who becomes king in that play where there's poison in the ear?
Hamlet?
Someone's already king.
You're talking about what? Hamlet?
Is that Hamlet? Or is that Othello?
Hamlet becomes king because he's in line to the throne. I mean, I guess the fact that he poisons Dingus, whatever he is, the pervy uncle, is you know, leads to him becoming king. But it's not that direct.
How does the Origami King become the king, Zambit? Have you got far enough in the game to figure that out?
Yeah.
I did. So the way we've been playing the Origami King is my fiance, she's been playing it, and I've been sitting next to her, and any hard bits, I'm taking over. So, boss battles and hard jumping puzzles. And by hard jumping puzzles, I mean anything involving a bit of a jump.
That's fair. I was baffled because I head to my sacred tomes, as I often do in Thumb Cramps, to see playtimes. And Origami King was not attached to your account. And I was like, Then I thought about it for a second longer. I was like, oh, there's a second Switch in that household.
I reckon
he's playing it on that.
And
lo and behold.
You are correct. I wasn't paying 100...
strike rate continues for your good boy Joel Dusha.
Well done. So I wasn't really paying 100% attention to the start. All I know is I think the Origami King was pretending to be Peach. And then you get a little questionnaire at the start where Peach summons Mario and is like, what do you think of Toad? Should they be killed? And you're like, no.
Yeah.
Are you sure? Yeah. And then that's revealed to be the Origami,
the Origami King.
And then you sort of go go on some adventures. I think we're up to world like 4 or 5, up to the ice world. It's very fun.
Cold.
Yeah, so I guess, yeah. So Paper Mario Origami King, it's an RPG set in the Mushroom Kingdom, and it is the aesthetic is that everything is made from paper. It's kind of really all there in the title. It's real good. The graphics are great. Like, it's very, 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 very good. It's a lot of fun. There's like an ability just to throw confetti. So
yes.
Right.
You throw confetti on like the scaffolding of the world, and it makes like it covers up the holes, and it's just it's great to do. Mario looks so pleased and happy with himself, like he's celebrating, and you can do it at any time.
It's that's really provided you got like, confetti in that bag.
Yeah. So that's great. You got a hammer and your good. Boots, and those are your fighting abilities. So like in RPG, it's kind of I haven't actually played any of the other Paper Mario RPGs, so I can't really talk in relation to how this compares to the other ones. All I know is I've heard that they're very good.
Do you want a quick backstory of the Super Mario, the Paper Mario history versus fan reaction?
Yeah, please do, because it always came out, I feel like, later in like a console, and it was point either that I'd sort of moved on from the console or I'd stopped sort of playing a lot of the like video games.
The first Paper Mario came out on the Nintendo 64 very late in its cycle, like you just said. It was a typical RPG with leveling and weird characters, and everyone was like, I love this. It's weird. Like, there was, like, a cloud that was... Like, you had a party and stuff as well. Like, it was, like, very typical RPG. Then the second one, Thousand Year Door, came out on GameCube. I think that came out relatively in the middle of its run, and it almost... Like, it's also a very, like, RPG with leveling... There's a party again. It's quite a long game, like 30 to 40 hours, and everyone went nuts for it. The Wii came out, and Nintendo started simplifying all of its games. So they turned Paper Mario into a platformer. People lost their mind. People were so angry.
Fair.
Then,
that's the only Paper Mario I've played, and I loved it. You could flip the level from 2D to 3D. Welcome to the future. Oh my god.
Also, the Super Paper Mario game is also the first Paper Mario where they just started reusing old characters, where the first two just have like an entirely new cast, basically. The first one just has like made up like entirely new villains and whatever. The second one gives you like a Goomba and stuff like that in your party. And then Super Paper Mario is like, Bowser's here as well, and he's the bad one again. Then there was a sticker star on the 3DS, which was more RPG-y, but you collect stickers at and they're your attacks in battle, and you can only use every sticker once. People hated that, because you could just avoid every battle, and then just use stickers on bosses, and then be like, this game sucks. Also, heaps of backtracking. And then there was Paper Mario on the Wii U, which was Color Splash, a game I've never played or seen any footage of. Is it real? I honestly could not tell you.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I doubt its existence.
Yeah.
That sounds very, very interesting. I'd love for them to do, like... If they ever did a port of some of the Paper Marios onto the Switch, I'd be like, instant buy! Because, they seem right up my alley, and I really, really enjoyed them. It sounds like I would enjoy them. The Origami King, it's just a lot of fun. You don't really have a party. There is some kind of followers you end up getting every now and again. For a while, you get a Bob-omb, and it's just, he's the cutest little boy. I love him so much. It's real, real good. But it's just like, it's a nice storyline. It's Mario, so it's not exactly complex. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's just the Origami King is around. He's folded a bunch of toads. You got to go around each level rescuing and finding where they are, and also doing some other biz to free up the world. Every time you rescue a toad, they do a great sound, like that angry toad. And it's just, it's good. Highly recommend it. It's just...
They say something cooked when you save them as well. A joke. Hey, and Jackson, guess what? They're actually funny.
No way. I refuse.
I'm so sorry you had to find out like this, but it's actually
quite funny.
Video games
aren't funny. No video game's been funny.
And when you save toads, when you enter the battle, when you enter battles after you save Toads, they're sitting on the sidelines watching, and they often say things and give you criticisms.
Yeah.
Tell you the only game that's ever been funny, Gex 3D. Next question. Gex is funny.
Gex is horny for movies. That's the joke.
Yeah, that's funny.
He's a lizard who wants to have sex with the silver screen.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so as you were saying, JD, it's like every time you have a battle, like you are in this kind of arena and there's the bleachers, and if you haven't saved any Toads, they're empty, but the more you save, the more it starts filling up. Mm-hmm. And so when you start the battle, you can kind of like offer, I love how money hungry the Toads are, because you can offer gold to them and they'll help out, and they love it when you give them money. So you're like, hey, cheer for me, here's money, and they're like, of course we'll cheer for you, we love capitalism. So they just run into the thing and give you health and help you with the battlefield. The combat, so it is turn-based, but you don't really have a party, you're not controlling multiple people in your party, you're just controlling Mario. And the combat is, it's you in the center, and then there's like circles around it, concentric circles, I think. Is that the right terminology?
Yeah. I don't know. Maths is a mystery to me.
Let's say yes.
I would just say circles.
Concentric circles.
No, but they're concentric.
Yeah. Mm. What does that mean? Not sure.
So sounds like something Gex would say when talking about movies. Ooh, these making me concentric.
Yeah.
And then he'd say something like, yeah, baby, Austin Powers.
Yeah. And you were like, I remember Austin Powers, Gex. Thank you. That's very funny. Yeah. So the villains, the Goombas, the Turtles, whatever you're fighting, is on those like circles, and then you can use like the buttons to kind of move them around the board. And if you sort of put them in the sort of in a line or in a group of four, that's great. And then you get like a 1.5 bonus to attack them. Some of those puzzles are hard because you got to think spatially. And if you're stupid like me, you're like, I don't know about this.
Yeah, not happening.
So my partner does all of that, which is great. And then you either like fight them with your hammer, so you hit the four in the front, or you jump on them and like as a timing thing. So if you time it right, you do more damage. You go around, you can pick up different weapons, so like a shiny hammer and iron boots, or like shiny iron boots, and they do more damage, or say let you jump on a spiked person. And like in RPGs, you get items, so you can use like a fire flower or like a hammer throw or like an ice flower or a tail or a power box, those kind of things. So it's like, you know, all the classic favorites from Mario are there. So that's like the combat. It's very simple, very easy. Again, it is just kind of like helping you with those. It feels sometimes like it's a kids game where it's like helping you be like aware spatially, which
that's
isn't
cool.
a bad like, thing, to be honest.
No,
it's very nice.
No, it's good to learn.
It is.
Jack's learning something.
Jackson Bailey loves edutainment. It's his favorite genre.
It's the only way I can get clever.
I refuse to read a book, but if a game teaches me the alphabet, I'm stoked. I'm jazzed. Yeah. I'm Jackson Bailey.
That's true. That's a quote from me.
The only difference is when you are fighting, say, a boss, or there's a boss battle, and the bosses are kind of cute. You have like a rubber, like a person made from rubber band. You've got like a stapler, a hole punch. Like
stationary.
Stationary.
All things that are the enemy of paper. That's good.
And so that the only difference there is you are on the outside of the circles, and then there's like little buttons and stuff like that. That like arrows to sort of point to where you're going to fight or go in directions, those kind of things. And there's like an attack here, or like use a power here, or like health over there. And so then you have to kind of like use where the buttons are going, kind of like hopscotch in a weird way, to be like, there's an arrow there, I'm going there. Whatever, off we go. Those are the ones that I play the most, because my partner is like, no, I don't know, and then hands it to me. Weirdly, they can be hard.
That's classic Nintendo. It feels like a baby's game at first, and then all of a sudden you're a couple of hours in, and then you feel like the dumbest idiot.
It's an old man's game.
Yeah, I feel like Nintendo, like the degree of difficulty, like the difficulty curve starts really low and bends up really slowly, but it just keeps going up and up and up and up and up and up and up, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, no, I'm too high, I'm too high, I'm too high.
So there's a couple of those boss fights where I'm like, I am the biggest idiot right now. And then like, you work it out, and you're like, oh, I'm stupid.
The biggest gene. Oh, yeah. Right.
How did I not figure this out earlier? Oh boy.
Yeah.
So, all the boss fights that we've played so far are again a lot of fun and a complete blast. There is some times when it's weirdly emotional.
Whoa.
So there's a time where there's a character and I love him so much, and then some stuff happens and you're like, no, I didn't want this. My partner also plays it like you, Jack. Any cutscene or any bit of dialogue, she's just hammering that A button, ready to skip. There was like a moment when after we sort of defeated one of the the villains, and then there was a bit of dialogue that would tell you what to do next.
Yeah.
And I'm like half reading it. And then after it's finished, there's like this pause, this beat, and she turns to me and she's like, what do we have to do now? And I thought she was joking because, like, it said it several times.
Game just told you.
Like, and I was, are you serious? Are you sure you're not just having me on right now? And she's looked at me with this blank, like, I don't know, what are we doing? And like, what they just said, we have to go to town. Oh my God.
It pleases me so much that the two things. Two of the things that me and your partner really, we get along with is we both love flavored milk, and we both have no time for lore in story, in a game. That's incredible.
Yeah. Mm. It was extremely funny witnessing that. I'm still a little bit of shock of just how little she was paying attention to any dialogue box.
I wonder if that's why she finds puzzles in video games annoying. Because she's not paying any attention.
I mean, it's why I find puzzles annoying.
Yeah. Well, Jackson, I know why you find puzzles annoying, because you try and brute force literally anything. If you had an option of solving a puzzle or just taking 75% damage to run through the puzzle, you'd just be like, well, yeah, that's fine. I'll just heal.
I'll figure it out later. Yeah.
I get it. I've been playing Paper Mario a little bit as well, but nowhere near as much as you and your partner. So I'm only like an hour or two in. So I can't comment on it too much, but I will say that rescuing the toads is incredibly satisfying. You have to, some of them, Jackson and listeners, you have to flatten out, because they're like scrunched up. You have to flatten them out by hitting them with a hammer. It's good.
Oh, that is good.
They make good noises. Yeah,
they
like
really
that.
Do. Oh, every time you save a toad, it is so satisfying. And there's like a lot
of
towns as well. Oh, there's so many toads. And there's like a bunch of towns as well. It's like that classic kind of RPG, classic RPG where you're like, oh, you go to a town, you explore, there's people there you can chat to.
Someone gives
That's
you
a lot
quest.
Of fun. And there's like a bunch of little quests you can do, which is also really great. I'm at to the part now, or we're at to this part now where we're in the control of a boat. So we get zip around in a boat. There's a part where when you are in the desert, you get control of a boot that acts like a car, and so you
That's
can just
cool.
ram some villains with your boot. And it's nothing like committing a hit and run as Mario when you run over a Goomba I guess no repercussions, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's kind of like, it just feels like this is the equivalent of Mario accidentally, like, in the middle of the night running over a rabbit and being like, well, they're bad for the environment, so I guess I feel no guilt.
Well, they don't have a hand, so is it so much a crime?
Yeah.
Mamma mia, you know?
But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I highly recommend it. It is a relatively easy game, but sometimes you kind of want that. Also, if you do stuff up and you do like muck up some of the jumps, it'll just make it easier for you. It's just very good that way. Or if there's like some challenges you can't do and like, would you like it to be a bit easy? Would you...
Nintendo's good like that.
Yeah,
they're like, skip the level. Who cares?
It's nothing quite like being like, no, I'm a gamer. I can play a game, and then being like, would you like it to be easy? Not a little bit. Yeah, all right. So it's good for that as well.
I think it's sad because in Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, that mode is called Funky Mode, and it's called Funky Mode obviously because you can then play as Funky Kong, who doesn't get hurt by spikes, etc., etc. I'm sad that Nintendo didn't just decide to call every easy mode on every game Funky Mode.
That would be sick.
Turn on Funky Mode on Paper Mario and the Origami King, whatever, and then you just play as Funky Kong.
DK does make a little sneaky cameo, or a reference to DK
for my Kong boys.
So be on the lookout for that. Also, Samus makes it in the same area. Also a sneaky cameo. So if you're a big Nintendo head, like I know you are out there, be on the lookout for those sneaky Easter eggs. They're hard to find. Trust me.
Any Warios to be found?
Look, I have yet to find a Wario. I'm still a couple of levels away from actually 100% clocking this game. Sure. But it's also nice playing with someone who also plays a game in very similar to like myself, where you can get like a little secret that goes off, like a little bell that's like, there is a toad here, so be on the lookout. And after spending a little bit of time on that, being like, well, I can't find it, so I guess that's never being found. Off we go. And it's nice playing with someone who shares that same level of apathy of like, this secret isn't for me. And off we go.
That is good.
So I'm sure there are people out there that would love to 100% this game, and I think it's like could easily do this, but also it's great knowing you don't have to.
Yeah,
highly recommend this game. Like 5 thumbs. It is so much fun. It is really nice. We've turned on the motion controls because there's like a thousand whatever it is. It sucks, by the way. Don't do that. We should turn it off.
Yes.
I have hit myself in the head twice.
That's sick.
I'm done.
That's great news.
So motion controls are automatically on. I recommend everyone turn them off immediately.
Yeah, 100%. Fishing with the controls, like the motion controls, suck. That's how I hit my head once. And then there's like when there's these moments where you get like the thousand arm, whatever it's called, is you're meant to like grab a bit of wallpaper. Thousand fold arms. You grab a bit of wallpaper and you just yank it off. That's how I hit my head the second time.
Yeah,
so,
that's good.
Yeah, look.
Yeah, so hitting your head, not fun, makes you feel like a big doofus, especially in front of a loved one. But she seemed to enjoy it. So, swings and roundabouts, you know?
Yeah, look.
So, is any of it bad? Because I got one complaint.
I think the one thing I think I don't really like is that the weapons break. Because after a while you use them, it's just kind of. But I guess it's a way to spend the in-game currency because you do get a lot of it.
So I haven't gotten to a shop yet, and I have 7,000 coins.
Yeah, we've got like 20. Like 1,000, and we're like, oh, we've been spending a lot of coins on this, that, and the other. I guess the other sort of criticism I would have is that, like the battles can be a bit boring. Like the grunts, like can be a bit grindy, and you just kind of want to be like, let me just skip. Oh my god, I'm bored. No. And you try to avoid a lot of the minions, as it were.
Yeah.
But that's kind of like a lot of RPGs, I find.
It gets
to a point where like you don't want to do the grinding stuff, and there is this kind of like, well, there is no like level progression, as it were. Like you do find hearts, and that'll give you like some max health and your power ups and that kind of stuff. But I wish that it would kind of like some of that the RPG elements either lean in or just kind of get rid of is probably my only gripe.
Yeah, the only complaint I have so far about it is that. It's a bit slow, especially at the start, like slower than the start of a normal game. It teaches you how to fight in battles twice because there's a big gap between the tutorials. And I get it that they just want to have a fight at the start of the game so you know what you're in for. But don't be teaching me how to fight twice.
That sucks.
Yeah.
That's
and not good. Yeah.
Also, Jackson, the dialogue is not skippable.
Oh, that's terrible news. I'll just shut my eyes.
Yeah, that's probably for the best.
But you can hammer A, so you can get rid of like through it a bit quicker. And again, my partner is a testament to that. You do not have to pay attention.
That's wonderful.
She
news.
Doesn't. She
That's does. What I like to hear.
Mm.
So 5 thumbs?
5 thumbs. Yeah, 5 thumbs.
So far, it's getting a preemptive 5 thumbs from me, and I'm also jumping in on this review.
All right.
And now let's have a quick word from our sponsors. So what are you Bugalugs been playing?
Right, so I have just been absolutely laying waste to video games whilst I've been in video game jail. I've gone into video game clocking overdrive, and in the last month, I think I've finished like 6 games. It's out of control.
God. Calm down, can I ask?
I'm talking records broken.
Yeah. Oh my god, Olympic level clocking is what's happening.
Jackson, you can ask, and no, I refuse to calm down. I've got more games on the horizon.
Whoa.
So yeah, so first of all, before I tell you what game I'm currently talking about this week, which, mm-hmm. may I just say before I even say the title, I've finished it. Yeah, oh, that's right. But also,
spicy.
Huge announcement, Doom Eternal, it's dead, I killed it, I clocked Doom Eternal.
Did you beat Timmy Walk's old Tom Walkerino? Mm-hmm. Did you beat him into the dust? Were you the first to beat it out of the two of you?
I absolutely was. I mean, sure, he was handicapped because he spilt water on his laptop, but I would say that's his own fault. You shouldn't pour water on your laptop. I could have poured water on my PS4.
Yeah, exactly.
No, see, the late gamer strategy is get some Mountain Dew and pour that on your laptop because
make
that
it
makes
quicker.
It go quicker.
Charges it up.
So it's like the boost button on an old third-party PlayStation controller. That's what Mountain Dew does to laptops.
Exactly.
News.
Doom Eternal has a very crazy final boss. I've never played a video game where it's felt like the world is ending more than Doom Eternal. So yeah, still great game, 5 thumbs. I've said that like 4 times because I brought it up heaps, but I just wanted to let everyone know I have finished the game, and more importantly, I finished it before Tom Walker did.
That is great news.
But that's
good to hear.
Also finished Ratchet and Clank, which is a follow-up of last week or the week before, whenever I said I'm going to finish Ratchet and Clank. Yeah, I did it.
I
beat that game for babies, and I had a good time.
Good.
The game that I finished this week is a brand new game called Carrion. It's a new Devolver Digital game. It's been released on every platform you can imagine. Name a platform. Current gen.
Xbox.
It's on Xbox. In fact, I played it on Xbox. In fact, I've got a special announcement about the Xbox because Carrion is on Game Pass. It launched on Game Pass, and that is how I played it, and that is how I finished it. Thank you, Devolver, for doing that, and thank you, Xbox, for letting me play Xbox.
What about on a reconstituted Game Boy Advance someone made this year?
Whoa!
Gotcha.
Can you get Steam on that reconstituted Game Boy Advance?
Yes. What do I mean by reconstituted? Who knows?
Well, if you can get Steam on that bad boy, you can absolutely play it. If you got a Switch, you can play it on that too. PS4? Oh, you betcha.
Damn, son.
What is Carry On?
Carrion is described as a reverse Metroidvania where you basically play as the monster. So the game starts and you break out of containment. And yeah, your goal is pretty much just to escape. But it follows the same path as a Metroidvania where you get new abilities by finding contamination tanks. Break in, get the abilities out of that, lets you access new areas. It's 16-bit, looks real good. Plays real good, and movement in this game has never felt more fluid, because the monster that you're playing as is kind of like a combination of worms and, like, Mother Brain from Metroid, and if you can imagine a combo of both of those.
Did you ever play Inside, by any chance?
I haven't, but apparently whatever you're about to say,
yes,
it is like that, because you're the second person who has asked me that in response to Carrion, but I was like, I haven't played Inside, and then they said, I won't wreck it for you, but considering you just brought it up, and this person, well, I can say that Andrew Levins is the one who told me to play this.
Yeah. You don't have to keep that a secret. That's
no. I just wanted to keep everyone guessing.
Him. Yeah, I know Andrew Levins, dude. Yeah. That's like, it's one of my claims
to
fame.
I know Adam Levins, okay?
Adam Levins. So apparently whatever you're thinking about with Inside is... Yes, it is like that, but
that rules.
I don't know what that is because I haven't played Inside.
Just play Inside. Also, five thumbs. What a game.
Yeah, that's great. Never finished Limbo, and for some reason I punished myself by not playing Inside as punishment,
silly.
I guess.
That's funny. That's a crazy thing to do.
Yeah, it's a psycho move for a maniac.
That's how it hits. Great news.
So yeah, basically at the start of the game, you're like a relatively small, this is back to Carrion, not Inside or my self-proposed band or whatever, or Limbo, or whatever else I was talking about, or
just
Andrew Levins. It's not about him either. He's not a worm boy. But I did say to him that, Jackson, you would love this game. And he said, he just responded with, he's a worm freak. So.
That is true. Yeah, I'm a worm freak.
Yeah,
he's
good.
On the money.
Yeah, he knows you well. And I feel like our audience also know you well. If I had to say, hey, a member of Sans Fence Radio is a worm freak, guess who?
Yeah, that's all it says on my LinkedIn. Jackson Bailey. Worm freak. Do I want to hire this guy? What does that mean?
I'm intrigued.
So when you first start the game, you've got two abilities. One is like a one of your tentacles you can use to like grab people and switches and stuff like that. And then you can also do like a yell thing.
Cool.
The yell thing highlights, it's like a scream. It highlights where the next, I forget the term for it, but it's like there's like holes and stuff in the wall and you can like nest into them and that's that takes you to new areas, but cool. also recharges your health. Mm. And as you get more upgrades, your carrion, I guess, gets bigger and bigger. And there's like three stages of it. And the third stage is the most disgusting thing I've seen in a video game.
It sounds good.
Yeah,
it sounds
very it's good. Kind of vibes like a symbiote from Spider-Man as well, except red, not. Mm-hmm. So I guess Carnage.
So a Carnage.
Yeah, like Carnage, yeah. Hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of gooey, but also kind of worms. You unlock an ability about halfway through the game that means that when you're in water, you literally do turn into worms.
Oh, that's
I like that.
Really violent. You get health back by eating people. So you just grab them, slam them on the ground so they're dead, then chomp on them.
Can you eat them while they're still alive, or they have to be dead?
Well, because it's 16-bit, you can't tell. Yeah, you can grab them and eat them while they're alive, because there's lots of screams in the game.
Yeah, oh, that's good.
Soundtrack's sick. It's kind of spooky sounding. It's and it kind of has the Super Meat Boy thing, which is if you go into a room and you cause a lot of damage, blood just ends up all over the walls and all over the ground, and there's just blood everywhere.
Fun. That's delicious. Yes.
Sick.
The upgrades are so satisfying because you just get like certain things that don't necessarily make the game easier, but they're just like really good at giving you cool abilities.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like, one is you kind of shoot off, like, a cobweb sort of thing. It's basically like you shoot off a tentacle, but it cobwebs people, so it, like, sticks them to stuff, and then, like, stuns them so you can then grab them and kill them. Because as you progress through the game, some of the enemies get tougher and tougher. So there's just, like, guys. Then there's, like, guys with handguns. Then you've got, like, army guys, and then army guys with flamethrowers and drones and stuff like that. It's all happening. And, yeah, it's hectic. It's really, really hectic. And I cannot express enough how fluid the movement is, because we always play video games and we're just like a guy. Where this is like, you're a worm thing that can like stick, like climb up walls across the ceiling, like the floor and the ground you control the same. It's just, it's happening. And like when you, say you're on the ground and you want to go up, if you just press up on the controller stick, tentacles just like immediately just go up and grab on and.
Oh, that's sweet. That's
yeah.
Sick
it's
as
so
well.
Satisfying. It's so satisfying.
How long did it take to beat?
It's about 4 hours. It's not a particularly long
that's
game.
That's good. No, but I feel like that's. I feel like that's good.
Yeah. I think it's probably a pretty similar length to Gato Roboto.
Okay. Well, I feel like if it's any longer than that, and I feel like you kind of get this with a Metroidvania, that means they have to space out getting the abilities, and that means that you get sick of them quicker. Like, it sounds like it does that good thing where it's like, here's a new ability, here's a new ability, keeping you engaged.
Yeah, I think there's like six different areas. They all look pretty much the same. It's not trying to set the world on fire with how varied the environments are. But yeah, in each of those six areas, there's one or two abilities, depending on what. There is also little flashbacks that give you a bit of backstory and actual story into the game. Jackson, these are the only moments of the game you will not like, because you play as a guy, and he walks. Terrible. He doesn't...
I'll shut my eyes when that happens.
Yeah. It makes you think, and there's a few puzzles and stuff like that. It's no good. I'm so sorry. It does only happen...
Would I like those bits, though?
What, sorry?
I feel I would like those bits, though.
Yeah, they're slow and, I guess, a bit sad. Well, not sad, just, like, kind of confusing at first. Disorientating, because you're like, what's this? But then by the time you get to the last one, you're like,
Okay.
Yeah, it's really fun. Like, I started playing... Like, it came out at the start of the week, and I finished it in a couple of days. I couldn't stop playing it.
That rules.
I was in the
zone.
How
many thumbs? What are we talking?
I remember probably say 4 thumbs and a knuck. There is just a few parts that it doesn't explain some of the stuff well. And I get it, because the whole thing is your creature one doesn't know where it is or what it's doing.
Yeah.
So one thing that's really unique with this for a Metroidvania is no map. No map at all.
Oh. Wow. Okay.
That's cool.
All right. The areas are small, and I didn't get lost at any point. But I did find myself occasionally being like going the wrong way and being like, ah, shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And like looping around and stuff like that. The only other part is that, yes, I don't know. I might have liked it just to be a little bit longer. I feel like some of the like crazier abilities I got towards the end of the game, I didn't have a really long time to spend with. But hey, I'm not complaining too much.
Yeah,
it's the little baby complaints.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So four thumbs and a knock, Jackson. You'd really like it. It's on Switch. It's it's on everything.
Oh, I'll grab it.
Oh, it's also Jackson
Game Pass, baby. Yeah.
Yeah, it's on PC Game Pass as well. So just fire it up. Get it done now. Stop recording right now. Just play it.
Well, screw it. Right, I'm done.
Okay, okay. We'll do that now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I have a review as well.
Well, get on with it. You've got Carrie to play. Okay.
Chop, chop. We're not here for a haircut, okay, Jack. So, come on. We've got Carrie to play.
I'm sorry. I have started...
Speed run this review. Come on.
Okay. I started streaming a game called Food Cooking Simulator. You're in a kitchen. The game is... I thought it would be fun if I was playing it wrong, but actually trying to play it right is where it becomes the most enjoyable.
It's almost like they made the game like that.
Well, it's okay, I'll try to elaborate further without eating into our carry-in time. So it's a cooking simulator where you are in a kitchen, presumably the kitchen of a restaurant, but you are by yourself, so under the pump, and you will get recipes that you need to make and you need to deliver. You have, you know, at the beginning of the game, just sort of a smaller amount of ingredients. You can buy more, but again, that's limited as well. And then as you level up and do better and better, you unlock new recipes that you will have to make and therefore new ingredients. Initially, so, you know, I was enjoying it, like, they would be like, we want a tomato soup, and I would, like, smash a plate and put the plate shards in the soup and send that out and get a really low score and be like, haha, that's funny. What are the complaints? Oh, there's a plate in this? Yeah, that's fair. And enjoying stuff like that, I discovered on a stream that if I placed the fire extinguisher on the grill, it would explode my kitchen entirely and make things like the stove unusable. And so when I had to make a soup, I'm like, I guess I'm doing it in the microwave and stuff like that. And that was a lot of fun. But then I was like, well, what if I tried to do it properly? And so you know how, like, I don't know how many of those, the sort of simulator games you've played.
Surgeon Simulator, end of list.
Well, yes. Yeah, so the simulator games are just not super precise. They just never are. They always feel a little bit undercooked. Farming simulators, the same. Any of those simulator games where you're like on a mountain fixing a ski resort, there are like 10 of them. I've played a couple of them. They always feel a little bit imprecise. And that's what makes trying to do it properly so good, because it's so easy to mess something up. So many times I'm like, right, just going to bake a trout. Simple as that. I put it on the spatula. The spatula controls are a nightmare. I drop the trout on the floor. I'm like, no one will notice. No one will notice. Pick up the trout. Put it in the oven. I'm like, where do I set a timer? Try to get the trout out of the oven. Flick it because the physics interact improperly, so it flies behind me. Turn around, pick it up off the floor again.
No one will notice.
I've never been able to, no matter how precise I try to be with my ingredients, I've never been able to make the soups the same color as they are in the recipe image. It's like, here's a lovely like tomato soup, and I'm like, great. So yeah, no matter how... So like, I look at the picture of the tomato soup on the screen, because there's like two recipe screens, one kind of near the pantry and one near the cooking station, and it's like a deep, rich red tomato soup. And then I follow the ingredients down to the gram, down to exactly as it's meant to be. And it's always this foul, liquidy, pale pink tomato soup that I send out, and they still love. They're still happy with it, but it's never... And I don't know if it's possible to make it look like the image, or if that's like part of the undercookedness. And the part of that recipe specifically is like... pour in some
sour cream.
Sour cream. And I'm like, surely this isn't right, because as I do it, it gets paler and paler and paler. But that's what it requires of me. It's so much fun. And like, it reminds me of you know, we had Tom Walker recently on reviewing American Truck Simulator, and he said that it's kind of relaxing just driving through the American Midwest. And it is kind of relaxing to cook as well. Like, I like setting something up, like a pot full of tomatoes, and being like, I'm just going to let that cook over there while I go over to the, you know, the food processor to make a soup, like, or a sauce or something. That's quite enjoyable and kind of relaxing. But it is always funny to send it out and get I'm like, that's just not at all what they ordered, but they're still very happy. And the last stream I did as well, I had a food critic, and they were like, you have to cook this perfectly, or the food critic will be upset. And I did it to the best of my ability, and the food critic hated it so much, and the woman that owned the restaurant called it a monstrosity. And I've never been more hurt or cut in my life. She's like, the food critic hated your monstrosity, as I thought they would. And just, it cut me to the bone. I tried so hard, lady. Oh, my God.
How many times did you drop the food critic's food on the floor?
Not once! Not this one I tried on! The other one's like, yeah, okay, whatever. Maybe the salmon lands on the dirty ground occasionally. Maybe I put too much salt in because I'm not paying attention. Maybe, as I first did with the salmon something something, I used two lemons instead of potatoes because I couldn't quite tell what the image wanted of me. Okay, I get it. Sometimes I mess it up.
But I don't think... I've laughed as hard as I have with your stream. I think is a clip now. You can go to our Twitch and have a look at that. It is one of the funniest things I've seen in recent memories that ends with you being, oh, the salmon's done.
Oh, that's right.
But
that's
what is preceding that is beautiful. I highly recommend everyone. I don't want to spoil anything.
Twitch.tv/SansPantsRadio. Check it out. The comedic timing was so accidental and incredible.
It's like 30 seconds. It's beautiful.
It's great. It's great. And there's a DLC for it that's like baking cakes and stuff. And there's another DLC that's like, it's like a cooking show, like a Food Network. Like, you have 30 seconds to make this using these ingredients and stuff, which sounds like a lot of fun. So I'm definitely going to try them as well. It's a shockingly good time.
Is it just available on PC?
I'm not sure. I know I got it off Steam. For about maybe $20-something, maybe a little bit less, maybe a little bit more, I can't really remember. Around that.
I got it on Steam for an unspecified price.
Was I paying
attention? Might have been a bargain, might have been overpriced, might have been gouged. I don't know.
Who can tell?
Is it a scam?
I don't think it'll be on anything other than PC. The simulator games tend not to be, unless they get really popular, like American Truck Simulator or like Railway Simulator and stuff, but... I think it's probably only on PC, but I'm having a great time with it. I don't know what the longevity of it is. I can see myself playing this, you know, like a decent amount, but eventually being like, well, it's become frustrating that I can never get my soup to look right, or that there's no specific controls for making the food look nice on the plate. You end up just like stacking lemons on a fish and being like, good enough. Another great moment is I had to cook. It was like make a borscht or something, like a beetroot soup. And borscht. I got it all perfect. Borscht? I don't know how you say it.
Borscht.
But I got it perfect borscht? In the bowl. And then as I turned around, the physics went wrong and the plate smashed and the soup went on the ground. And then I looked at the timer for how long I had left to deliver the soup. And I only had like a minute left. So I just blended like 5 beetroots in the food processor, put that in a bowl and sent it out. And they were not... They were not happy. They could tell the difference between a soup and just cold blended beetroots.
What?
Who'd have thought? But yeah, it's great. Yeah.
I've done your research for you, Jackson. It is also available on the Nintendo Switch.
Oh, well, there you go. I can't imagine it runs very well, but give it a go. Probably going to give it four thumbs and a knuck for food simulator, cooking simulator. It's a lot of fun, but also I can imagine it not being for everyone, and I can imagine people... getting frustrated by the controls rather than being infinitely amused by
it. Just double checking. It's called Cooking Simulator, not Food Simulator.
Cooking Simulator, right? Yep. Not Food Simulator, yeah. I've had salmon like get stuck in a cupboard and then I couldn't get them out. And then the game glitched in such a way that my spatula just kept rotating and flying away. And I couldn't get out. I had to exit the game and get back in to be able to pick up things again. So yeah, look, I love that, but I can imagine that being frustrating. But all in all, four thumbs and a knock. It's I'm having a lot of fun with it. Watch me play it at twitch.tv/SansPantsRadio. Check out that clip. My goodness.
It's very, very good. So all in all, I think today has been a 14th thumber with an additional 5 thumbs for another Paper Mario review from JD. So 19 thumbs all up. So... that's a pretty good, it's a pretty good high score in game.
Yeah, absolutely. Well done, gang.
I accidentally turned my Switch on. What a good way to end the episode.
And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
And I've also been Joel. And now my face is illuminated by a television that is showing me the Nintendo Switch main frame. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for listening. Do us a huge favor and leave a rating and review on whatever platform you're listening to this beautiful podcast on. Also, be sure to check out Sandspence Radio's objectively better gaming podcast, All the Small Games, hosted by Andrew Levins and John Valenzuela, two true professionals.